the something which is also food for thought and grounds for further research here is the fact that Candy Jones had been hypno-programmed by Gilbert Jensen in Oakland, California. Now, the Darlin' June Cromer case was held in Oakland. The boy was murdered in Alameda County. And the two girls who Darlin' June Cromer almost abducted were also from Oakland. So keep that possible connection in mind. Something else which I think is food for thought concerns the possibility of mind control in connection with the Atlanta child murders. Another of the techniques which the CIA developed in order to control the human mind basically involved the surgical implantation of transponders and electrodes in experimental subjects. This enabled them to, in essence, broadcast to the victim and to control a person's behavior by activating different centers of the brain. It's sort of push-button behavior control, I guess you might say. This technique was often used in combination with hypno-conditioning as well. The victims of this kind of process have described the subjective experience of being commanded or forced to act by voices or demons. They report that their behavior is beyond control and that they have to act in accordance with these voices. I bear all of that information in mind as I read you the last of the stories we're going to deal with tonight. The following story appeared in today's San Jose Mercury News, today being Friday, March 20th of 1981. This is an AP story out of Atlanta, and it's entitled, Caller Says a Voice Ordered Him to Kill Four Atlanta Kids. A man claiming responsibility for killing four of the city's 20 slain black children told a minister in a telephone call that he was ordered to kill by a voice that won't leave him alone. He told me, The voice tells me to kill. Once the voice begins controlling me, I have no control at all, the Reverend Earl Park said at a news conference Thursday at his Chapel Hill Harvester Church in suburban Decatur. Nobody loves me. Nobody has ever loved me, the pastor quoted the caller as saying. He said his mother didn't really care for him. Park said he believed the man wanted to be free, and in a way I think he wanted to get, and it wanted to be caught. In a telephone call to the minister on March 10th, the man seemed frightened that the voices would come back to haunt him, Park said. He not only felt controlled by them, but he was afraid of them. The minister said the caller discussed only four of the killings, referring to them as the first three and the last one. The minister said he met Thursday for 45 minutes with representatives of the FBI and the DeKalb County Police Department. Both agencies have representatives on the 80-member task force probing the 20 deaths and the disappearances of two other black youths in the past 20 months. Well, that's the last thing we're going to be looking at this evening. I'd like to take just a minute to sum up what we've looked at. We began by looking at the conditioned race hatred that was induced in Candy Jones under experimental...
Okay, and at that point, we are going to... we're going to make sure our headphones aren't falling off our head, for one thing. A child molestation case after some eddying about in the Darlin' June Cromer case and a brief discussion of the Candy Jones case, which, as Dave mentioned earlier, we didn't have time for tonight. We still have a couple of articles left, which we're going to get to in a moment. It is interesting, again, while frequently the symptom of hearing voices speaking in one's head are a frequent symptom of psychosis, they also are a symptom of mind control. They do not directly indicate mind control, but they are, again, both a symptom of psychosis and mind control. And in many ways, of course, mind control mimics psychosis, so as Dave was saying in his rather cautious evaluation of the testimony of Mr. McGinnis, it's hard to say exactly what is going on with a guy like that. Obviously, to surface appearances, the man is nutty as a fruitcake. On the other hand, he did make some interesting comments about being involved with assassinations on behalf of Nixon's drug wars, which we have discussed at great length, and all of our regular listeners know, in fact, is strongly founded in truth. Quite over adequately documented at great length. So again, I tend to favor the last supposition as far as Mr. McGinnis, that perhaps indeed he had been involved in these programs, and then on his way out the door, they gave him a final little scramble for the road.
An interesting reference point to evaluate the McGinnis situation against is that of Mr. Castillo, who we talked about in Radio Free America number 5, who was one of these mind control assassins developed by the National Security Establishment with a multiple personality, but there were several different layers and several different personalities, some of which were disinformation and were deliberately programmed into him so that any attempt to deprogram him would come across a lot of false information first. He may have been sort of deliberately placed askew, much as Castillo appears to have been.
Now, lest one think that we have only Mr. McGinnis to present as somebody who might possibly have had their brains scrambled in mind control tests, and Darlin June Cromer as possibly, without much evidence, we're going to tell you a little bit about a rather, not a rather, an extremely sinister man by the name of Gary Heidnik.
By the way, research credit for the following two articles goes to May Brussel.
That's right, and this was originally published, I'm not sure which paper. Oh, that is Santa Fe Mercury.
No, that's the Washington, D.C. Times.
Oh, that's right. Of course it is. That's right. The Washington, D.C. Times for March 28th, 1988. And the headline is Army Gave Accused LSD Tests, Lawyers Says. Dateline Philadelphia. It's an AP Wire story, actually. The lawyer for a man accused of murdering two women and shackling four others in a basement torture chamber said he has obtained files that will prove his client was the subject of Army LSD tests in the 60s. Quote, I found that my client was a guinea pig for the U.S. Army, and it will be proven beyond any doubt, A. Charles Peruto, Jr. said Friday. If I were to pay rent on the files by the square foot, I'd be broke. 1 year ago, police found three half-naked women chained to a sewer pipe in the basement of Gary Heidnik's house. Heidnik is spelled H-E-I-D-N-I-K. Basement of Gary Heidnik's house after being led there by a woman who said she had escaped from the captor. Limbs of another woman were found packaged in the freezer, and another body was found in a New Jersey forest. Mr. Peruto said he plans to argue during the trial, set to begin April 4th, that Mr. Heidnik was insane and the hallucinogen LSD aggravated his schizophrenia. Mr. Peruto said Army and Veterans Administration documents show Mr. Heidnik was the subject of LSD tests between 1961 and 63. An Army spokesman said the service's records did not show such testing. Quote, nothing exists in his Army record on file. It is not known what is part of his record on file with the Veterans Administration, said Lieutenant Colonel Greg Rickson in Washington. Calls to the VA Friday went unanswered. The VA granted Mr. Heidnik 100% psychiatric disability after he was discharged from the Army in 1963. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. Again, a very similar case to the Darlin June Cromer case in the treating of human beings as if they were food products. The fact that the victims of this particular deranged individual, or apparently deranged individual, like those of Darlin June Cromer, were of various non-white ethnic groups, as was the case with Darlin Cromer's small children child victims.
And obviously in the Atlanta child murders, they were the victims were blacks also.
Absolutely. Okay, we're going to read another article, a follow-up on the Heidnik case. This is from the People's Daily World. I won't go into a great lengthy disclaimer, but the article itself is pretty straightforward and is not pushing any particular political agenda, so we'll let it stand on its own.
Yeah, the People's World is an explicitly left-wing publication. In fact, I think it's the official publication of the American Communist Party. I may be wrong about that. It is the official publication of one of the doctrinaire American left groups. It is, however, generally regarded as pretty credible and has good reportage. And again, we're disclaiming the ideological affiliations. As we indicated earlier in the program, neither of us has ever gotten along particularly well with the left as such. However, this particular article raises some very interesting points which we think are food for thought and grounds for further research. And we're looking at this particular article as a possible jumping-off point for perhaps more mainstream journalists to begin researching the Gary Heidnik case and see if the information unearthed here by the People's Daily World will bear out in a less overtly ideologically charged context.
This article, again, from the People's Daily World for Tuesday, April 14th, 1987. The article is headlined, Questions Abound in New Horror Tale. It's a column, actually. And the writer is Romulo Fajardo, F-A-J-A-R-D-O. The latest tale of criminal horror to hit the media is developing into a bizarre story of government abuse and a madman let loose to act out his racism against Afro-Americans. The arrest of Gary Heidnik on March 25th at a gas station in Philadelphia sent a shockwave through the city when a modern-day slave-holding dungeon was discovered in his house in the North Philadelphia section of the city. Later, a body was unearthed in Camden County, New Jersey, while more horror tales surfaced, as well as glimpses of the past of this self-styled preacher. Investigators are now trying to piece together the puzzle left behind by Heidnik's trail of murder, torture, kidnapping, abuse, and theft, to name a few of the charges, while the community is asking why this was not detected sooner. In the meantime, Heidnik's army past is receiving a lot of attention, but the army remains tight-lipped. But the community is angry and wants its questions answered. At a eulogy for Sandra Lindsay, whose dismembered body was found in Camden County, the Reverend Bernard Taylor of Lombard Central Presbyterian Church in West Philadelphia echoed the sentiments not only of the victim's family, but of all the city, when he asked how this tale of horror could have gone undetected for so long. Quote, "We want answers," he said. Some in Philadelphia would like to portray this as a mere aberration and one more oddity of life in the big city. However, there are certain facts which cannot escape unnoticed. All of the victims were non-white, including Heidnik's wife, a Filipina, who had to run and hide because of the physical abuses. Also, Heidnik's alleged accomplice, Cyril Brown, is black. Most of the victims suffered from mental retardation or had mental problems. For months, neighbors in Heidnik's North Marshall Street residence complained to police about the loud noises, screams, and other incidents that were the norm at the home. One time, a complaint was lodged when neighbors smelled human hair and skin being burned at Heidnik's house. The police came and were content with Heidnik's reply that he was merely roasting some meat. Indeed, he was, as surviving victims told authorities they were forced to eat cooked human flesh. In a district riddled with crime and wholesale drug peddling, the concerns of neighbors are obviously not taken seriously by the cops. Worse still, the vocational center for the mentally ill repeatedly complained to the police about Heidnik's harassment of patients. It has been confirmed that some of his victims were the center's patients. Then there's the question of the army. People in the know say nobody, nobody gets 100% disability benefits from the army unless the army is totally responsible for the condition warranting disability. Gary Heidnik received 100% disability, and there's nothing physically wrong with the man who served in Germany in 1962 until he was shipped to the States to a psychiatric hospital. It is now widely rumored, and Heidnik's attorney recently hinted at this, that the man was the subject of LSD experimentation by the Army. Facts revealed elsewhere indicate that the Army was heavily involved in mind-altering drug experiments during this time in Europe. So far, the Army has been tight-lipped about Heidnik's Army record. Finally, there is the race question. Heidnik's brother, Terry, told the press in interviews that his brother is acting out the racist education their father gave them in Cleveland, that Afro-Americans are inferior and are to be subjugated. Heidnik always sought the company of blacks, but only those he could dominate in one form or another. A former tenant of Heidnik's West Philadelphia apartment reported that in the mid-1970s, Heidnik received literature from racist and neo-fascist groups such as the Aryan Nation, and that he deeply believed in the concept that an impending race war was fast approaching for which he was getting ready. I would add parenthetically, can you all out there say helter skelter? Yes. The more you learn about this case, continuing with Fajardo's article, the more you learn about this case, the more questions it raises. But for Gary Heidnik's victims and the neighborhood he has left scarred, all this is too late. The cops didn't listen. The courts, the mental hospitals, and the army might ultimately be responsible. Okay, unfortunately, we don't have a great deal of time to interpolate the article, but I think it pretty much speaks for itself. The questions still remain to be answered. The pattern is very similar to a lot of the others we've been talking about.
Lake, Darlin' June Cromer, in particular where he's cooking and eating the flesh, there's a lot of discussion in Darlin' June Cromer's situation about cannibalism, which is also one of the symptoms of Satanism. They frequently involves cannibalism of various kinds.
And human sacrifice, victims held against their will, all of these things. Very similar rash of cases.
And again, we're asking, with so many of these the tendrils appearing to go back to the military and the intelligence communities, we're asking basically if this is the People's Temple scenario, something else we should bring in this context. And again, I think we pretty much made our point all along. We are not talking about Satanism per se. We are not talking about the devil. We are not engaging in a course of comparative religion. We are dealing with fascism and the intelligence community, and we are looking at these satanic cults specifically in the same context we look at the Moonies and the People's Temple.
Indeed. Now, we had promised, and we will give you with no further ado the address for those of you who wish to contact Archives on Audio and track down tapes of eventually this broadcast when it gets there and other Radio Free America broadcasts and One Step Beyond broadcasts that you might want to review or to have for your very own to swap with your friends.
Now, again, let me put the tape on hold while we give our ID.
Okay.
Now, having said that, all of our archive shows, including this week's show, last week's show, the second installment of The Ultimate Evil, the first installment of The Ultimate Evil, Radio Free America shows, Guns of November programs, The Pink Triangle, and other programs, all of them, are on permanent file with a tape duplication service. The name of that service is Archives on Audio, P.O. Box 170023. That's in San Francisco, zip code 94117. The phone number is area code 415-346-1840. 415-346-1840. And again, One Step Beyond shows are not on permanent file there, except for occasional programs, but they are available for a period of roughly a week after each broadcast. So, or a period of roughly a month after each broadcast, excuse me. So if you miss a One Step Beyond show, for the next month or two, you'll still have an opportunity to go back and get them. So do that. And again, neither NIP, nor myself, nor the station gets any money out of this arrangement. Now, real quick, coming up next week, be tuned in and once again be ready to do some taping, because it's Uncle Sam and the Swastika for the eighth straight year, the story of U.S. industrial cooperation with the Third Reich, this presented apropos of Memorial Day weekend, which is next weekend. And then coming up on the following Wednesday.
I was just going to say, 7 o'clock starting time?
7 o'clock starting time. So regular old time. And then on Wednesday, June 1st, the following Wednesday, tune in at 7 o'clock once again and be ready to go at 11 o'clock and once again be ready to tape for Radio Free America number 3. If this all seems a little strange and far afield, all this talk of Nazisms and Nazism, etc., we'll take a look at the geniture of the U.S. intelligence system, and it is inextricable with the entire subject of Nazism and world fascism, as we will see. Wednesday, June 1st, 7 to 11 p.m. right here on KFJC. The following Sunday, on Sunday, June 5th, tune in at 6 o'clock here on KFJC, and be ready to stay tuned till 11 for Radio Free America number 9. That's about the assassination of Robert F. Kennedy, which dovetails directly with some of the subject material tonight, and we're bringing it up because that is the 20th anniversary of that unfortunate event.
Thus, with no further ado, we will slide out into the night, leaving you in the able and even...